Live from the College of Communication, Arts, and Sciences at Michigan State University, it is now time to go beyond the X's and the O's with WKAR's Current Sports.
You want to go after an athlete, one of my athletes, come after me. I'm a man. I'm 40.
My style is impetuous. My defense is impregnable.
Well, I'm the best corner in the game. When you try me with a star receiver like Crabtree, that's the result you're going to get.
Yes, did I express to them I was mad? I was furious. Just furious.
I know my wife will at least shot fake one time.
We're talking about practice, not a game.
And I told our players, you need to be more like a dog. We don't need a bunch of cats in here. Yeah, looking in the mirror. Do I look good? I got my extra bands on. I got my other shoes on. Be a dog. We don't need no meows. We don't need no cat.
Here's your host, L. Martin.
Beautiful people, welcome to this Wednesday hump day edition of WKAR's Current Sports. It is April 21st, 2021, and I hope you all are well. On today's Current Sports, we are going to have spring football media availability for you guys. You'll get the chance to hear from head coach of the Michigan State football program, Mel Tucker. This is like his official pre-spring game media availability. So he'll address numerous topics. You'll also get the opportunity to hear from a Michigan State player in Noah Harvey, Michigan State football linebacker. All right? And again, the spring game this weekend inside of Spartan Stadium. Spartan Stadium and Michigan State Athletics, they have announced that they will allow fans at Spartan Stadium. It will be at an 8% capacity. So, yeah, there you have that. So you get to hear from head coach Mel Tucker, as well as Noah Harvey, Michigan State football linebacker. I believe Noah is a redshirt senior. But before I do that, I want to talk about a pretty monumental day in our nation's history yesterday, as the verdict in the Derek Chauvin trial was read to our world. The jury deliberated for, you know, about 11 hours after closing arguments, and you know, there were a lot of emotions that ran through my body yesterday once it came down that a verdict had been reached in the Derek Chauvin trial. Because, you know, myself, along with my fellow black brothers and sisters in this world, we have seen so many times, there are so many examples of police officers who have killed black people, and they've either gotten a slap on the wrist, or not even that, you know, just gone completely free. And the trust that African Americans have in our judicial system is very, very low. So I was very nervous yesterday when I got that notification, and we all knew that a verdict was going to be read yesterday. I was very nervous because the George Floyd case, in that video shot by a teenager that went viral, not just here in our nation, but in our world. I mean, you've got George Floyd murals in other countries, folks. That's how impactful that 9-plus minute video was, watching Derek Chauvin put his knee on the neck of George Floyd. It touched millions upon millions of people. That case sparked up such a movement last year, sparked up protest in numerous cities here in our nation last year, and just angered a lot of us, man. Hurt a lot of us. So, again, when the news began to spread that we had a verdict, I just prayed that it was one that would bring some kind of justice to George Floyd, to George Floyd's family. I prayed that justice would prevail. And when it was read that Derek Chauvin was guilty on all three counts, boy, oh boy, was it a collective sigh of relief. Quite emotional, man. It was an emotional day yesterday as that verdict was read, as that verdict came down, and then to see the visual. See the visual of Derek Chauvin placed in handcuffs, going behind bars. It felt like finally, man, we got one, right? Finally, we got a win here. And, you know, you just look at how the trial went. I mean, just like numerous reporters noted yesterday, Philonis Floyd, the brother of the late George Floyd, you know, he would constantly say throughout this trial that I don't know how any logical human being with a beating heart can watch that video and not see anything wrong with what Derek Chauvin did. How can any logical human being watch that film and think that he's not guilty? And that proved to be the case, folks. It's not like we had a hung jury here. It was unanimous on all three counts. And, you know, now we go to the sentencing process, and Derek Chauvin looks as though he is going to spend a long time behind bars. Justice. And it sends a message, man, that, you know, especially those who rock a badge. You know, I tell this a lot here on the show. We now have a cop in the family. As my stepdad's brother, Rondo, my unc, he became a cop last year, actually. And, you know, I have all these conversations with him about, you know, the job and how tough it is, and how it is nerve-wracking because of everything that goes on in our world that is just unpredictable, right? And when talking about the George Floyd situation, you know, he made it very clear that, man, his partners, his colleagues look at that video, and it really disgusts them. Because good cops look at that video and say, man, you're just making us look bad. You know, there are so many bad apples out there that make all cops look bad because of a video like that going viral. And you know, there's just no logic behind it at all. And I want to remind people that there are some good cops out there, man. There are many, many good cops out there, right? I would like to believe there are more good cops than bad cops. But, you know, as Chris Rock stated in one of his hard-hitting stand-ups, even though he's a comedian, you know, I remember when this snippet came out from his stand-up special Tambourine, it was just like it went viral because it's so real and so fitting. You know, in certain professions, you can have a bad apple or two. You can take that blow, right? But in law enforcement, when you put on that badge and you have a firearm on that hip and you take an oath to protect and serve, look, man, there are some professions in which you just can't have bad apples. And law enforcement is one of those. You know why? Well, because the consequences are so great. Lives are literally on the line. Lives are literally being lost because of those few bad apples in the bunch. And there's got to be some reform. The process has to change because we got too many cats walking around with badges that shouldn't have them. I'm sorry. That's just the way it is. That's just the way I see it, at least. You know, I bring up the whole Dante Wright situation, right? I mean, confusing your gun for your taser or your taser for your gun. I mean, it just, you can't make a mistake like that. Because, again, lives are at risk. You can't play with human life, man. If you're wearing that badge and you're walking around with a firearm, you have a responsibility to make sure you cross all your T's and dot all your I's before you decide to possibly take a life. But we got some justice yesterday, some kind of justice yesterday. Look, it's really hard for me to say the J word all the way confidently, because at the end of the day, we are still talking about a black man who unjustly lost his life at the knee of a police officer. But when it comes to this trial, they got it right. The jury did the right thing. Our nation did the right thing. And I just hope and pray that, you know, George Floyd's family, now with this verdict being handed down, can find some kind of healing. I really pray for that. I really do. The reaction has been felt from all different directions, especially in the sports world. You know, I was flipping around channels after the verdict was read, you know, from local stations to national stations, just to see what the coverage was like. And then something told me to just check out ESPN just to see if they were talking about it. And I flipped over to ESPN, and ESPN Sports Center like dedicated the entire show to the Derek Chauvin verdict, just to show you how massive this verdict was, just to show you how major the George Floyd killing, how major that moment in American history was. I mean, you've got SportsCenter just completely swapping out sports for coverage, like they were, you know, a national news station covering that trial. I mean, they had reporters on the scene out there in Minnesota. And why? Well, that's because, again, gone are the days where you can separate your sports from what happens in the real world news-wise, because those two worlds have collided, and they collided a long time ago. And this More Than an Athlete movement is real, and I love it. I love it because you're starting to see athletes, big-time athletes, use their platforms to try and spark some change. And the reaction was certainly felt within the sporting world. LeBron James, who has been consistently active and outspoken on many social issues over the years, he weighed in with one simple word following the verdict on Twitter. Quote, accountability. Patrick Mahomes, the young stud behind center for the Kansas City Chiefs, tweeted, prayer hands. Minnesota Timberwolves big man, Carl Anthony Towns, who has seen the trial play out in Minneapolis over the past month. He also weighed in yesterday, tweeting out, quote, justice and accountability. Things I never thought I would see. There's much more work to do, but this is an amazing start working toward the reform this country needs. Bubba Wallace, race car driver. Quote, black race car driver. Quote, justice served on all counts. Good. Still a ton of work to do. Continue to rest peacefully. Hashtag George Floyd. Trae Young, young stud for the Atlanta Hawks. Quote, way more work to do. Ryan Clark, former NFL baller, now broadcaster. Quote, remember, the jurors only did the right thing. Nothing special, not above and beyond. They held Derek Chauvin accountable for his actions under the law. That was their job, and they did it. We just aren't used to seeing it. This was the verdict we as a country deserved. Emmanuel Ocho, also now a sports broadcaster, former athlete. Quote, don't applaud a fish for swimming, and you don't applaud the justice system for providing justice. But thankfully, today we can breathe a sigh of relief. How about the NBA and the NBPA putting out a joint statement? Quote, NBPA Executive Director Michelle Roberts and NBA Commissioner Adam Silver released the following joint statement today. Quote, George Floyd's murder was a flashpoint for how we look at race and justice in our country. And we are pleased that justice appears to have been served. But we also recognize that there is much work to be done, and the National Basketball Association and the National Basketball Players Association, together with our newly formed Social Justice Coalition, will redouble our efforts to advocate for meaningful change in the areas of criminal justice and policing. The NFL, quote, today's outcome in the Derek Chauvin trial in Minneapolis does not undo the loss of life. Mr. George Floyd should be here with us today. Our hearts remain with the Floyd family, and we understand the pain, anger, and frustration does not go away even when justice is delivered. Importantly, even as we identify reasons for hope, we must continue to help move our society toward a more equal and just tomorrow. We are proud to partner with NFL players and clubs and remain committed to do the important work needed to make positive change in our society. The NHL, quote, while we hope the end of the trial offers a chance for healing, we remain committed to actively engaging in the movement for equality, and we invite our fans to join us in supporting systemic change. The MLB, quote, in the wake of today's verdict, Major League Baseball hopes to contribute to the healing process by continuing to work with our players, the MLBPA, and the Players Alliance to advance the values of social justice, equality, diversity, and inclusion. And the WNBA. This coming from WNBA Commish Kathy Engelbert, releasing the following statement. Quote, this past year, we have witnessed traumatizing instances of police brutality that Black Americans disproportionately experience, with the murder of George Floyd at the forefront of the conversation. While this verdict represents a step toward justice, we are reminded that justice is too often not the outcome for people of color. The WNBA and WNBPA Social Justice Council will continue its work to combat injustice and inequality in our country, and hope this represents a true turning point for how the effects of systematic racism begin to be addressed. We stand with all those who have felt the deep impact of George Floyd's death. I mean, that's like every major league here in our nation, right? Making a statement on the verdict of Derek Chauvin, a white police officer who is now behind bars for killing a black man, George Floyd. That shows you the impact of this verdict. But you know what was a trend in those statements and in those tweets from athletes? Is that we still have a long way to go. And that it should not be a surprise. It should not come as a shock to us when the criminal justice system does what it's supposed to do. Convict those who do wrong. Convict white police officers who do wrong against black people. We shouldn't be sitting up here looking at this, you know, like it's some kind of anomaly, even though it is. It's not the norm. The system should be doing this on the regular. And the word accountability, you know, like LeBron James tweeted out, just plainly accountability, holding Derek Chauvin accountable for his heinous actions. This was the only right move to convict him on all three counts. But we still got a long way to go. And that is so true. We can't look at the result of the George Floyd, Derek Chauvin trial. We can't look at that result and say, all right, we did it. Mission accomplished. No. Is it a step in the right direction? For sure. But I feel like every month, maybe even more frequent than that, we are seeing black people unfairly targeted by law enforcement. And we are seeing the constant killing of minorities at the hands of law enforcement, at the hands of police officers who have a duty, who took an oath to protect and serve. So is this progress? For sure. Because we don't normally, sadly, we don't normally see this in our criminal justice system. Meaning that we still have a long way to go. We'll take the progress, but the work is far, 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 far from finished. Your thoughts, your reactions to Derek Chauvin being found guilty on all three counts yesterday. 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. Call us at that number and leave us a voicemail. You can also go to our Facebook page at facebook.com/WKAR News, and you can comment anywhere there on our Facebook page, and I'll read your comments live here on the airwaves tomorrow. And you can also tweet us. You can tweet me directly at Al Martin. Well, I shouldn't say live on the airwaves. Again, I pre-record the show in the year that is COVID, in the time that is COVID, right? but I'll read your comments on the airwaves. And tweet us. Tweet me directly at Al Martin, WKAR, or you can tweet the show at WKAR News. All right? So in just a moment, I'm going to hit this first break, and you'll hear from Michigan State linebacker, senior linebacker Noah Harvey on the team's preparation throughout spring practice, as well as, of course, head coach Mel Tucker, as Mel Tucker gives his pre-spring game press conference as Michigan State will hit the field this Saturday afternoon at Spartan Stadium to give you a little taste of what's to come next year. And, you know, it's going to be interesting. It is going to be, you know, very interesting to see, you know, what this team looks like coming this Saturday. Now, it will be a spring game, you know, that will be a little bit different. You know, the spring game won't be a game at all, really. There's going to be a few live periods of 11-on-11 hitting, but, you know, Mel Tucker, he plans to show off his program a little differently. He went on to say yesterday, and you'll hear this quote in just a moment, but, quote, it's going to be a meat and potatoes type practice. There's not going to be a whole lot of French pastry in terms of inside the lines. And whatever's going on outside the lines, it is what it is. But in terms of the practice, we're going to do what we do. We got to get out there and we got to get work done. It's practice 15 for us, and it's an opportunity to get better and aggregation of marginal gains. So Tucker plans to have 10 to 15 periods in the two-hour TV programming window using the last half of practice for live scrimmaging. So it won't be a full game, folks. It's not going to be the D'Antonio era spring game that we're used to seeing, right? Where you have green versus white and, you know, you're watching some form of a game. No, it's going to be some periods of workouts and that kind of thing. And then you're going to have the last half as live scrimmaging. Interesting, you know, in his previous stops, including his first year at Colorado, he's always operated with a traditional spring game. You know, after losing 15 practices in March and April due to the pandemic, he said, you know, putting a practice on center stage instead of splitting up into teams, he believes that's a better way to showcase his program. So that is going to be very interesting. Very interesting. And, you know, Mel said that, you know, his team, his program has been, quote, relatively healthy, and they haven't experienced any type of major injuries. So, you know, he expects to know, though, who will and won't be available by, like, I don't know, today, midweek, right? It's Wednesday. He said midweek, so we'll see. But isn't it wild, though? You know, we're finally going to see fans in the stands at Spartan Stadium this weekend. You know, for those limited number of fans, again, at 8% capacity, those fans who, you know, are able to secure tickets to see Tucker's team in person, the general public has not been allowed inside of Spartan Stadium for a game, check this, since Mark D'Antonio's final home win, November 30th, 2019. And that was against Maryland. Isn't it crazy to think that it's been that long since we have seen fans of any sort inside of Spartan Stadium? Goodness, man. And the band is going to be there. The cheer team is going to be there. It should be a great environment, and it should definitely wet your beak a bit as we talk Michigan State football this upcoming season. All right, folks, and again, what I want to do right now is hit our first break, and when we come back, you'll hear what Mel Tucker had to say during his pre-spring game media availability on Tuesday, as well as Michigan State senior linebacker Noah Harvey. They speak after this. You are listening to the Wednesday Hump Day edition of WKAR's Current Sports. We'll be right back. All right, welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin, and as promised, we now have media availability coming from the Michigan State football program, who has been practicing throughout this spring, the beginning of this spring, I should say, right? Prepping for the spring game, which will take place this Saturday. Here is what head coach Mel Tucker and Michigan State senior linebacker Noah Harvey had to say on this Saturday's spring game action.
What we're going to do is we're just going to give you, give our fans and everyone an inside look at how we practice. It's not going to be a game per se. Really, the focus is going to be on the efficiency, the attention to detail, the sense of urgency in which we practice, the enthusiasm, the high effort, the high energy. And that's really how we go about our practices. It's going to be a chance for everyone to see the culture of our practices and emphasize how we really go to work. We want it to be very competitive. And it's really this format that we're planning is going to be the best way to really display all of those things based upon the guys that we have available. The drills in the first half of the practice will really set the tone. And then we'll have some live scrimmage work in the second half of the practice. In terms of recruiting, there's been a lot of talk about the transfer portal, and there's a lot of activity in the portal, you know, for us and everyone in the country. Our activity in the portal is going to be based upon the circumstances of our team. And so I just want everyone to understand that we're going to do what we have to do to build our team. I don't anticipate necessarily being in the portal as much in subsequent years. We would ideally like to build our team through the high school ranks, and that's really our primary focus. We will use the portal to complement and supplement the talent on our team. Having fans in the stands for the spring practice on Saturday, we're really excited about that. It's really an opportunity for our players to play in front of fans. We've been looking forward to this for quite some time. It's exposure for our program. It's going to be on the Big Ten network, which is huge for us. You know, we'll have the band, we'll have the cheer team there. It's going to be a great environment and something that we didn't have a year ago. And we're really excited to have that on Saturday. So with that being said, I'll open up for questions.
Thanks, Coach. We'll start with Chris Solari from the Detroit Free Press.
Hey, Mel, good to see you.
Good to see you, Chris.
Now that you guys are about, I think, 12 or 13 practices through, from a health standpoint, have you been able to get through fairly unscathed? Is there anyone you anticipate won't be able to go on Saturday?
Yeah, we've been relatively healthy. We'll see, you know, what the injury report is, you know, after practice, you know, at the end of today and tomorrow morning, and we'll go through. It's a fluid situation. But, you know, in terms of catastrophic type injuries, we've been able to avoid those for the most part.
How has that helped with what you've been trying to establish with competition as well, to have the guys healthy and pushing each other?
It means a lot to be out on the field. You can't make the club in the tub, you know, so you need to be out there practicing and getting work and getting better. And that's how we have more competitive practices. The more guys that are available to practice and get out there and compete and get better, the better football team we're going to have.
Our next question will go to Matt Charbonneau with the Detroit News.
Hey, Mel. I know you mentioned the fans being there. Considering the way last year went, these guys haven't played in front of fans really in quite a while now. Not that it's going to be packed or anything, but do you sense an excitement from these guys of having at least somebody there, somebody besides some family and friends to see what's going on?
Yeah, I do. I do sense some excitement from our players and also from our coaches. It's an opportunity to get out there in front of our fans. No, we haven't had that, and it's very exciting. We're looking forward to it.
And then I wanted to ask, too, I know I'm sure we'll keep asking about this well into preseason camp and whatnot, but as you get to the end of spring, your quarterback situation is going to continue to be a focus here. Where would you say those guys are at this point, you know, getting to the end of spring? I'm speaking specifically probably with Anthony and Peyton, but obviously if some other guys are making some moves, those guys too.
Yeah, I mean, it's they're just competing and working to get better. You know, it hasn't shaken itself out yet. At some point that it will, but it's really too early for that to happen. But I really like the progress that they've made. They're working really hard, and you know, guys are getting better. You know, we're getting better as a football team. That's the most important thing at this time of year.
Thanks, Mel.
Yeah, thank you.
Our next question will go to Lindsey Huddleston.
Hey, Mel. Can't make the tub in the club. Can't make the club in the tub. That's worth repeating. Just want to say that. To Matt's follow-up, you know, as it relates to the excitement, is there still a mental toughness expectation, even though it's not an actual game scenario? You still want your guys to be locked in. You still want everyone to do the things they're supposed to do, even though there's, like, some glamour and glitz going on.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be a meat and potatoes type practice. It's not going to be a whole lot of French pastry in terms of inside the lines. You know, whatever's going on outside the lines, it is what it is. But in terms of the practice, you know, we're going to do what we do. We got to get out there. We got to get work done. I mean, it's practice 15 for us, and it's another opportunity to get better and, you know, aggregation of marginal gains. We just got to get 1-2% better at everything we're doing, you know, every day, individually and collectively. That's the goal of that practice.
And as a quick follow-up for the, you know, incoming freshmen, early signees like an Ethan Boyd or someone like that, do you think this is going to be a real big experience for them because the lights are finally be on?
Yeah, I think it will be, and we'll see how they react. And that's part of the process. I mean, that's really part of the progression. You know, you just take it from, you know, the meeting rooms, and you take it to walkthrough, you know, you take it to you take it to individual, then you take it to group work, you take it to a scrimmage, and you take it to a live game, you know. And this is the closest to, you know, a live game that you can really get when you get into the stadium and you actually have fans, and you do go live. And so even though it's not going to be a total game format, it's going to be more of a glimpse into how we run our practices. It's going to be very competitive. We are going to have some live periods in there, and there's going to be fans, and there's going to be some excitement. There'll be some pressure as well.
I got it. Thank you for that.
Yeah, thank you so much.
Next question is from Kellen Buddy with WILX.
Hey, Coach. Thanks for chatting with us today. We kind of touched on it a little bit, the spring game with the fans and the added excitement. You mentioned the players are kind of excited for it, but when we first heard we are going to be able to have fans at the spring game, you said this is going to be super exciting and we might as well get the cheerleaders, the band in there, and of course we're going to see that. So from your perspective, how is this kind of a celebration of maybe a fresh start with, you know, being able to start recruiting, getting fans in, and kind of the whole shebang there?
I just think it's great exposure for our program. It's good for our fans. It's good for our players. You know, everyone wants to be in the stadium. Everyone's hungry for football, and you know, it's just a great opportunity for us to go out and show, you know, where we are at this point and connect with our fans. And you know, obviously recruiting has never stopped. It doesn't begin on Saturday. It's just we recruit every single day. So, we're really excited about it. I mean, I can't say it enough. But when we step on the field on Saturday, we'll be locked in again better.
Next question is from Matt Wenzel with M Live.
Hey Mel, just for clarification, will Saturday's spring game still count as one of the three spring practices in which you primarily use an 11-on-11 scrimmage format, or are you planning on using that elsewhere?
This is going to be pretty much how we practice normally. but we will have some live periods. So it'll be an opportunity to showcase, you know, how we operate a practice. You know, this the individual periods, the group periods, the team periods. You know, how we move from drill to drill. You know, with the sense of urgency, the attention to detail, how hard our guys play, how physical they are, and how efficient we are. And, you know, we'll have some live periods, you know, mixed in. So we'll get that live, you know, scrimmage feel to it. So I think that's the best way to showcase where we are at this point.
And with all your experience coaching in college at different stops, it looked like you did more of a regular spring game last year at Colorado, but is this something closer to what you've done at different places along the way as far as just, like you said, what you're trying to use to best showcase what you can do right now?
The places I've been has usually been a game, but this Saturday is not going to be that.
Okay, thank you.
Yep, you're welcome. Thank you.
Our next question is from Paul Marber with USA Today.
Hey, Mel, good afternoon. The recruiting calendar is going to open up on the 1st of June, run through about the end of that month. I'm curious, as you look ahead to that period, how do you expect that to go in terms of just the impact of having the ability to have people on campus and how crazy that might get for you and for your staff? And secondly, have you considered how you might use the opportunity to work out unofficial visits during that period as well?
Yeah, we're going to hit the ground running, and it's really kind of getting back to normal for us, and we're used to you know, this in that month of June, we're used to, you know, it, you know, recruits, you know, being in, you know, all day every day, whether they're in for official visits or they're in for unofficial visits or working out. We got camps going. That's what this time of year is usually all about. And so, you know, we've been planning for it, and we'll be ready. We'll be ready to rock and roll.
Our next question is from Audrey Dahlgren with WLNS.
Hi, Mel. You mentioned at the beginning that you want people to see the culture of your practices at this spring game. And there are some players who have gained quite a bit of weight and gotten a little bigger throughout this spring ball period. But what else is going to maybe jump out to people when they see you guys on the field? Or what do you at least hope jumps out to people?
I would say practice organization, the sense of urgency, the pace and the tempo and intensity at which we work. We don't waste any time. This is very organized.
One of the big things that we were doing this whole spring is understanding the why to what we have going on. You know, we had to get all our defenses in, and we all understood what we were supposed to do, but not as much as what, like, the whole reason behind everything that we were doing. So now this spring has really opened up our inventory and really helped all 11 people on the field know what they're doing and why they're doing it and how it affects each other.
And what about your off-season program? Obviously, you didn't have that traditionally last year. And going through that with Coach Novak, what were sort of your personal areas of emphasis? And then just coming out of it, you know, how do you think you improved your body or changed your body in any type of way?
You talking about, like, in the weight room?
Yeah. Everything pre-spring ball. Yeah, January to March or whatever it was, the 8 weeks.
My point of emphasis is flexibility. I mean, we are doing a lot of flexibility with me. That's one thing that I struggle with, but, you know, we understand that. So they've been doing a great job at helping me do other things outside of our workout that will help me improve in that category, you know?
Yeah. Gotcha. All right. Thanks, man.
Mm-hmm.
We have time for two more. We'll go to Audrey Dahlgren with WLNS, and we'll wrap it up with Jim Comperoni with Spartan Magazine. Audrey?
Hey, Noah, you were mentioning that it's been an intense spring, and so we've been closed off, obviously, to all these practices. And so what's going to jump out to people when they see you guys on the field come Saturday, or just the fans or us, or what are people going to really notice?
I think that everybody's going to notice our intensity, because we all – our confidence level right now is very high, and we are a very confident team right now. And I mean, we've been going back and forth between offense and defense this entire spring ball. So now it's going to be intense, but it's going to be a battle between offense and defense, and I think that's going to jump out.
Looks like you're looking forward to that.
Yeah, I am looking forward to Saturday.
All right, thank you.
Our last question is from Jim Caproni with Spartan Mag.
Hey, Noah, thanks for taking time to do this. You mentioned earlier about gaining a better understanding of the scheme in general. Can you talk about yourself? I could be wrong about this, but it seemed like there are times, you know, last year you guys did some more two-gapping than you had done in recent years. And sometimes when you did one gapping, it looked like you were able to pull the pin, as they say, and play more like you did when you were younger and get north and south and do things. When it was two-gapping, was that an area in which you were still getting comfortable in what was asked of you? Would you agree with that assessment? I might be wrong about that. And is that one area where you can see yourself growing as you learn, as you have a better handle on the system that was implemented last year?
Yeah, I'm surprised that you noticed that. But, yes, that's the two-gap scheme that we had was something that I was not used to. And it's a different type of defense, but this spring has really helped us like work on that kind of defense and understanding like the patience that behind it and why we have to be patient. And, but yes, it was a little shaky last year on it just because of it being new and just trying to get the feel of it. But now we have, I think I do, and all the other backers.
All right, again, Mel Tucker, head coach, second-year head coach of the Michigan State football program, and Noah Harvey, Michigan State senior linebacker, getting you guys ready for the spring game taking place this weekend, this Saturday afternoon, inside of Spartan Stadium. And, you know, I'm curious if there are any fans out there who actually landed tickets, because I'm sure that you know, it was a mad dash scramble. I believe those tickets opened up already, and I believe they're sold out. I had to double check that. But if you scored a ticket to this weekend spring game, I would love to hear from you. And I want to know your strategy as well, because there are probably a lot of fans out there wondering, you know, how to maneuver that and how to get in with the fit in, because I'm pretty sure there's going to be limited capacity for this upcoming season as well, depending on how this pandemic is going, and the numbers seem to be just everywhere right now. So 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. Call us and leave us a voice message at that number. Go to facebook.com/WKAR News and weigh in there. You can tweet me directly at Al Martin, WKAR, or tweet the show at WKAR News. We put a bow on today's current sports after this. All right, welcome back to WKAR's current sports. And yeah, while we were rolling that second break in, I double checked, and yes, tickets for this Saturday's spring game set for 2 p.m. actually went on sale this morning. 7 a.m. was the time. So you could claim up to, what, 4 free tickets. It's free because of course, it's a spring game. It's an exhibition game. They never charge for the spring game. So 7 a.m. this morning is when those tickets went on sale. 6,000 total tickets. Again, 8% capacity at Spartan Stadium, a stadium that holds 75K. Just 500 reserved for students. So donors and season ticket holders were able to reserve their tickets earlier this week. So there you have that. Face masks are required. All right, got to wear your mask. And parking on game day will be free on campus as well. All right, lots 79, 62, 126, and 63. Lot 124 will be available for accessible parking. The lots will open at noon on Saturday. All right. And tailgating is not permitted. Can't turn up. All right. Just go to the game and enjoy the game. We are still in the midst of a pandemic. And also, concession stands will be open in both the north and south concourses where there's greater room for social distancing. Okay. So yeah, there's some information on the big spring game this Saturday. So we'll continue to get you prepped for that as the week rolls along here on Current Sports. But hey, we're out of time, folks. We are now on a 23-hour break. I will see you on the Thursday edition of WKAR's Current Sports. Be smart, be safe, and as always, be easy, people.